You know, what is your focus? What is the thing that you sleep on at night? What is it that you play in your mind at night in bed? What is it that is your focus? Another way of putting it, what is your priority? That's what we're going to be talking about today. What are our priorities, the priorities in life? We're talking about the abundant life. We're talking about having a life that's abundant. So let's go ahead and read our passage and our scripture that we've kind of forming this this series around. It's in the Amplified Bible. It's John 10:10. And it says this, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came, said Jesus, that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." Now, is that a good life or what? See, there is a thief, and we've got to realize that there is a thief out there that wants to take life from me. If you look in your past, you'll know that in your past there has been life that you were enjoying, things that you were going and enjoying and having a good time with, and all of a sudden they were gone. Something stole them from you. And right now, if you're not cautious, whatever good life that you're living and enjoying and having fun with, and it's abundant to you right now, if you're not cautious and are vigilant and are watching out, something will slip up and take that from you. And if you're not aware of the devil's schemes and plans and wiles, then down the road there's a life that is planned for you that's abundant. See, God has this great life planned for each one of us. And if we're not cautious and aware of the enemy's schemes and plans, then what he will do in the future is destroy life before we even get to it. He will do something right now to destroy life from us enjoying it in the future. So, Jesus said, "I've got good news." See, the gospel means good news, right? What does the gospel mean? Good news. The gospel means good news. Jesus says, "I come to give you the good news. I come to bring you the gospel of the kingdom of heaven." And if we'll just listen to the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, allow that gospel of the kingdom of heaven to come into our lives, and we'll take that, what he says and what he's taught us and teaches us, and if we'll apply that to our life, then we can stop the thief. I come to give you life and that more abundantly. The thief comes this to do this, but I come to do this. And if you'll take what I've taught you, you'll take what I tell you, then you're going to have a life and it's going to be more abundant. Now, we're busy. We live in a society that is built on being busy. Everything is busy, busy, busy. I have this deadline to meet. I have this meeting to go to. I have this thing I've got to get done today. And I've got that I've got to get done tomorrow. And so our lives are busy. You moms, you're busy with your children. You got to take them to practice. You got to take them to school. You got to take them to this. You got to take them to that. Your lives are full of busy. Dad's busy going to work. And then he's busy coming home so he can go to the next busy thing that he's got to do. Children are busy. Everybody's busy. Families are busy. We're so busy being busy that we're missing the abundant life. Are we living the abundant life, or are we just busy? Are we living the abundant life and fulfilling the plan that God has for our life, or are we just being busy and missing the abundant life? You see, I tend to think that we are so busy that we're really missing what God has for our lives. I see people stressed out today in a way I've never seen them before. You know, people are stressed, and you know how things are psychosomatic. Those things will make you sick. Being too busy sometimes will just make you physically and mentally sick. You get stressed out, it makes you ill, your blood pressure goes up, you know. You get sick, you have to go to the hospital simply because you're just too busy. You're not taking time to rest your body, not taking time to rest your mind, because you got to be busy. See, people just bite your head off over nothing. I mean, they'll just bite your head off. You know, road rage is a crazy thing, isn't it? Anybody ever experienced road rage one way or the other? I mean, you had it or you experienced it from someone else. Yeah. It's a crazy thing. I mean, road rage. Somebody cuts you off in traffic and man, you're just, you know, you go off. Or you cut somebody off in traffic and they'll bite your head off. I mean, it's a stressful situation and a stressful time. And we're always trying to please each other. You know, we're trying to please the kids. We're trying to please the husband. We're trying to please the wife. We're trying to please the family. We're trying to please the boss. We're trying to please this person or that person. Or you know, we're trying to please the pastor. We're always trying to please somebody. But we're not pleasing God because we're too busy. We live in a busy, busy society. And life has become like a treadmill. You know, we're on that treadmill and it's turned wide open and we're just running just as hard as we can go. And we're so into staying in tune and in step with this treadmill that we don't know how to get off. And we know that if we just miss one step, we're going down. And so we're running just as hard as we can run. Not going anywhere. Just busy. Sweating. Breathing hard. Going through all the motions. But just busy. And so we run this treadmill of life. And Jesus says, I didn't come so you'd be busy. I come so you could have an abundant life. I come so that you could get your life in balance. And so that you could enjoy it to the full, to the overflowing, to the abundance that I came to bring it to you. So we've got to get our lives in balance. We want to take our lives, because most of the time when lives are out of balance, when we are so busy that we aren't able to really enjoy life, our priorities have become not just jungled, but have become a jungle. Our priorities are so entangled that they stop us from running the race, stop us from fulfilling our course, stop us from doing what God has told us to do. They're blocking our way. So what I want to talk to us today about is not reorganizing priorities, because I don't think you need to reorganize priorities. What I think you need to do is prune them. I think there are things in all of our lives that need to be cut loose, that need to be cut from our lives. And in fact, I think there are some things in some of our lives that we need to uproot. We need to get rid of. We don't even need to do them anymore. So I want to talk about this today. Not talking about reorganizing your priorities. You've got enough to do. You don't need any more to do. What I want to try to help us understand today is that God's saying to us, let's cut some things loose. Let's let some things go that aren't productive in our lives, that aren't bringing forth fruit, that aren't taking us to the plan that God has for our lives, that aren't taking us to the abundant life. Let's root some things up that are holding us back and keeping running the race that God set before us to have the abundant life, to have all the prosperity and all the good things that God has for us. Let's check on that. So here's my title. My title is Abundant Life, Pruning Priorities. Pruning Priorities. If you got your Bibles, I hope you do. I want you to be looking with me in two passages. First, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and Luke chapter 10, and verse 40. If you'll be turning there, I'll be praying for us. Lord, we really do want to enjoy and have the abundant life. We want more than anything to live life to its full. We want to make every day count. We want to make every minute mean something. We want to enjoy life to its max. Lord, I ask you now to help us see that some of us are just too busy. Some of us have things in our lives that are stealing life from us. Ask you to help me, Lord, as we go forth to sow the seed, that the seed will fall on good soil. It'll produce 160 and 30-fold fruit. Ask you, Lord God, that shine your spotlight of the Holy Spirit into our hearts. And let each one of us see things that we need to cut loose from, that maybe we need to uproot because those things are stealing life from us. And I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. And ask you to help us all to hear what the Spirit has to say. Amen. Amen. Well, let me tell you about Bubba. Bubba's a redneck. And Bubba decided he was going to get married to Sweetie. So one night while he and Bubba and Ma and Pa are having supper, eating grits and gravy, Bubba tells Ma and Pa, well, I want to get married to Sweetie. Ma says, Bubba, I don't want you to get married. You're our baby. Bubba says, well, Ma, my last birthday, I was 38 years old. Paul chimes in and he says, Bubba, we know how old you are. It's not that we don't know how old you are, Bubba, but me and Ma think you ought to put off getting married until after you graduated high school. Bubba's priorities were a little jungled, don't you think? He was a little confused in what he should do. His priorities were, I think, messed up. And I think that our priorities, I think people in this room have priorities that have gotten jungled. It's not just that we don't know what we need to do, it's that we've got too much to do. And that we need to finish one thing before we do something else. And that we need to cut some things loose. And we need not to just prioritize, but we need to start pruning priorities. We've got to bring ourselves, our lives into balance. We've got to do what the Word of God says to do. We've got to stop living out there on the edge in our busyness. We've got to stop getting out there where we're out of balance, and we've got to bring our lives into balance so that we can balance life and enjoy life, that we're not always teeter-tottering, that we're not always running like crazy on that treadmill. So we need to bring our lives into balance. So in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says this. You should be there. Be well balanced. That's what the Amplified says. Now the King James Bible says be sober. But be well balanced. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. And then in the King James Version it says, be sober, be vigilant. Now, the word sober in the King James Version is translated sober, and it's translated be balanced in the Amplified. The word sober is napho, and it means to be sober. It means to be calm and collected in spirit. Calm and collected in spirit. Now, we may think we're cool. We may think we're calm and collected in spirit until somebody cuts us off in traffic. And then we jump out of the car with a hammer and chase them down the road. I know somebody that did that. Now, that was before they got saved, but I know somebody that actually did that. You see, we think we're calm until we bite the person's head off that we love most in the world. We think we're calm and we think we're cool until we go off on something that shouldn't be causing us any kind of difficulty or any kind of frustration, and all of a sudden it's controlled our lives. See, we are living in a time of stress, a time of being busy, a time of trying to get here or trying to get there, and the enemy just absolutely loves it when we get that busy. Because if we're that busy, we can't be vigilant. You can't be busy and vigilant at the same time. You can't be running that treadmill just as hard as you can go and as fast as you can go and expect to catch the enemy slipping up on you. And so we're busy, and the enemy's coming and slipping up on us and devouring our families or devouring our children or devouring our finances while we're just being busy. And he's stealing good life from us. He's destroying the life that Jesus came to give us before we even have an opportunity to get there. He's taken life from us in our past, and we can't continue to allow him to do that. And we've got to get that treadmill under control, and we've got to slow down a little bit and start looking around so we can be vigilant. Because he loves it when we're so busy that we can't watch out for him. He loves it when we're so busy that we can't spend time with God. And when you think about it, people are so busy today that they don't have time for God. Now think about that. People don't have time to come to church on Sundays. They don't have time to come to Wednesday workshops because we're so busy. They don't have time to pray. They don't have time to read their Bible. They don't have time to spend time with God because they're so busy doing other things, or they're so tired from doing the other things that they were busy doing. Somebody help me just a little bit now. Am I right? And we're busy doing this, and we're busy, 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 and we're busy doing that, and we're busy with the kids, or we're busy over there, but we're too busy to go and spend time with God. And the enemy loves that because he's taken life from us. He's taken the abundant life from us. Now, God wants us to be productive. Do you believe that? He doesn't want us to be busy, though. See, we confuse being productive with being busy. Productivity's got nothing to do with being busy. You can be running 90 miles an hour on that treadmill, but you ain't going nowhere. You're busy. You're sweating. Your heart rate's up. You're going through all the motions, but you're staying right in that same place. And you see, what God wants us to do is not be busy, but be productive. And we've got to learn how to prune our priorities. We've got to learn how to cut back or pluck up the things in our life that are not being fruitful and productive. And we've got to change from being busy to being productive. We've got to learn to evaluate our lives, look at our lives, what is really bringing forth fruit, and what's just producing leaves. On our property here, we've got crepe myrtles. And at my property at home, we have crepe myrtles. And the crepe myrtle is created in such a way that it brings these beautiful blossoms all summer long. Oh, they're gorgeous. These blossoms are just absolutely magnificent when the crepe myrtle is blooming correctly. Well, a couple of years ago, these crepe myrtles have been out here a long time and at my house before I even bought the house. And they become very large. They become trees, you know. And they were so big, and I was wanting them to produce, and I noticed they weren't producing like they once did. And so I was told that they had to be cut back. They had to be pruned back. And I said, well, okay, let's prune them. Well, when they prune those things back, I mean, they cut them back, man. I mean, they cut trees off of those trees, you know. I mean, they were big. And they cut those things back. And they said that if they didn't prune them back, that the crepe myrtle would spend all of its energy and all its time producing limbs and leaves, but not blossoms. But when we cut it back, then they were able to produce the blossoms that they were created to produce because they weren't spending all that energy on those limbs and those leaves. Amen. And that if you didn't cut them back, that they would get so big that they would eventually rip, that they would just break off. And I knew that was true because the one at my house next door, on our end of our house, had gotten so large that it ripped. It just split. One big old, it just like split in half, and part of it fell over into my neighbor's yard, and I had to clean that mess up. And see, our lives are like that. What happens in our lives is that we are so busy trying and using energy and time to take care of all the leaves and all the branches that aren't producing anything, that we're not taking care of our life that should be blossoming. You see, we're created to blossom. We're created to bloom all year long. We're created to produce these wonderful lives that when people look at our lives, they say, man, I want a life like that. I want a family like that. I want my finances to be like that. I want to have what they have. But we're so busy producing leaves and limbs that we're not really producing the blossomed life that you and I were created to produce for Jesus Christ and for the kingdom of heaven. We're not able to enjoy the abundance that we were created to have. Now, Jesus was walking along one day with his disciples, and he saw a fig tree. You know the story. He saw a fig tree. And his guys were with him, his kingdom folks, you know. And so he wanted to take them and give them some figs. So they approached that fig tree, and you know what happened? It had no fruit, just leaves. You see, we can't live a blessed life if we're not producing fruit. We can't live a blessed life if we're just so busy producing leaves and limbs. We can't live the life of abundance, the life that Jesus came to give us that's overflowing, if we're only concerned about and producing leaves and limbs, but no fruit. And what we've got to learn how to do is curse those things, pluck up those things, prune those things back in our lives that aren't producing, and get rid of them. Because when the Lord comes and looks at our lives, He wants to see fruit. He wants to see fruitfulness. He wants you and me to be producing something for the good of the kingdom, for other people, for our own lives to partake of. Well, that's great, Delbert, but how do we do that? How do you come about? How do you do those kinds of things? How do you pluck up? How do you get rid of those things in our lives? Well, I'm going to give you several thoughts. One thing that I find that takes a lot of time on a lot of people are relationships. A lot of people have friendships and relationships that aren't producing fruit. A lot of Christ followers are talking with people that are really taking life out of them rather than producing an abundant life in them. Have you ever had a relationship like this that when you got around a certain individual, when you left them, you felt like you'd been through a meat grinder? Life was just drawn out of you. I mean, your joy was gone. Your happiness was gone. Your expectations of good things, and you went away thinking negative about everybody, negative about everything. And you started that conversation up, and you started that conversation trying to lift them up, but you found out that what miserable people really do is want to be around miserable people, and so they've made you miserable. See, misery loves company. That should be a Bible verse. It's not, but it should be. It's probably in there somewhere like that, but miserable people will make you miserable. And after a few days or a few months or a few years of being around these people and you're not producing fruit, then that should be something that needs to be pruned. Now, hear me right. We got to love people, and we got to minister to people, and we got to express the salt and the light that we're supposed to be. But we can't allow people to steal the God-given dreams that He's put into our hearts. We can't allow the enemy to come and steal our dreams and our life from us by letting somebody get us miserable. Do you hear what I'm trying to say? And after a period of time here, when this relationship keeps dragging life out of you, realize that's the devil slipping up on you. Now, you're doing something good. You're producing a lot of leaves. But there's no life. There's no fruit there. Prune that back, at least, if not prune it all. Prune off the time that you give to that, the amount of time that you allow that person to bring you down. Prune off the amount that they suck out of you. Now, let me make sure I make one more clear point on this before I leave it. Don't go out of here saying, and going home and saying to your husband or your wife, "Well, Delbert said I could prune you off, you ugly thing." That's not what I'm saying here. You understand? That's not what I'm saying. But there are relationships. There are people that you spend hours and hours on the phone with that just drag you down. Or you go to their house and they drag you down. And you got to learn that that's the devil. That's the enemy slipping up on you, taking your joy, taking your victory, taking you from where you want to go in life and bringing you down to that level. That's not God. This should be something fruitful when the Lord prunes. Another situation that I find a lot of time going on are people get involved in so many things. I have to be real careful because people are always wanting me to be on this committee or that committee or this board or that board, you know, because I'm a preacher and television and all this stuff, and they know us. And so they're always asking me to do these things. And I try to do as many of them as I can, but I learned over the years that I can't get too involved with too many things. And you know, we say, well, those people need us. They depend on us. And they do. They do. But we've also got to see that it could be the devil taking valuable life out of us, that takes time from us that we can't spend doing what we're really supposed to be doing. We were down at CI several years ago with a whole bunch of us went down there, and Dr. Bill Hammond was speaking a prophecy over my life, and he said something, it went something along this way: "Son, I see you as a bottleneck. You're a bottleneck. And the Lord's going to put you back into the fire. He's going to heat the glass up again, and He's going to make you into a mason jar." Duh. You know, and he said, "Well," and he stepped back and he understood that I was having some confusion here. And he said, "Well, here's what it is." He says, "You're like me." He says, your temperament, your personality is a lot like mine. And you think that everything has to go through you. You're a bottleneck. And everything in the ministry, everything that goes on has to come through you." And he says, "And what the Lord's telling you is He's going to, through fire," oh boy, hallelujah, "through fire, He's going to open you up and make you a mason jar so that you can just dump out. There won't be any restrictions in it. It'll just flow." You see. And all he was saying, in other words, is this. He says, you know, focus on what you're supposed to focus on and let the other stuff take care of itself. And buddy, have we done that or what? You know what I'm saying? I mean, we come in this place and I don't have to focus on nothing but this. This is all I have to focus on nearly all week long. This is all I really have to focus on because everything else is taken care of. And you see what's happened. You see what's happened in the lives of people. And what God will do for you or for me or for anybody else is if we will just find out what our primary priority is and focus on that and prune off everything else, then we'll find out that seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness really does work. Seeking first that thing that you're created to do, that you're created to blossom, that you're created to bring forth, it really will work. If you're really serious with God, and you really want to find His purpose, and you really want to live the abundant life, then what you sometimes will have to do is change vocations. Sometimes, you know, we kick a dead horse. Sometimes we've got to understand that there are seasons in life. And what we have to do is realize that what worked for me years ago isn't working for me now. What was bringing me abundance then may not be bringing me abundance today. Years and years ago, I wanted my own business. And so I started my own business. I quit my job and I started my own business. And it made a little money. You know, we were eating. But I wasn't living abundance. I wasn't living what I was accustomed to living. And we saw that thing was going a treadmill. It was going nowhere fast. I mean, you know, we would probably survive, but it was a strain and a stress on our marriage. It was a strain and a stress on our finances. It was a strain and a stress on our whole family. And so what I ended up having to do was terminate that. I ended up having to end that. I ended up having to shut that down and change vocations and go back again to what I was trained for in college, which was to management. Now, after I had done that, after I had shut that down, I had plucked that up, I had terminated that particular vocation and went to another vocation, it wasn't long after that that the Lord put me in this vocation. It wasn't long that I began to really fulfill my God-given dream and what I really wanted to do with my life. And He'll do that for you. But see, sometimes we've got to end one vocation. Listen, just because it worked then and it brought you money and joy and happiness then, but it's not doing it now. Listen, you need to realize and understand, maybe it's time to change vocations. Maybe it's time to check stuff out. You see, sometimes just a simple of t- taking our priorities and looking at our priorities will take us to the next level that God has for us. See, my next level was to not be a management at a textile plant. My next level was to become a pastor. My next level of life was to meet you, to be able to impart into your life and yours into mine. See, and God will do that for you. Your next level might not be where you're at right now. God wants to take you to another level, and it may involve something that serious. But God has a plan for you, and He has something that He wants to do for you. And it's like the crepe myrtles. We've got to be able to prune back so that we can bring that blossom that we're created to bring, that we can produce the figs, the fruits that we're created to produce. And sometimes it won't happen. It will never happen unless we prioritize our lives and prune back, not just reorganize them and not just keep doing the same things that we're always doing, but look at our life very seriously and what is there that we need to cut off. Now, the word busy means this. It means to be fully engaged or occupied, overcrowded or cluttered with details, unavailable for use by anyone else. Does that sound like maybe your life? You know, you're unavailable for anyone, even God. You know, you're fully occupied. Every minute of every day is overcrowded and cluttered. You got all these details that you have to do. But God never told us to be busy. God never said, I created you to be busy. Let me show you an interesting verse in the Scriptures where Father God spoke the first time to man. He created Adam and Eve, and in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, look at this. This is so cool. He says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be busy. What did He say? Be fruitful and multiply. Not be busy. See, we confuse busyness. We confuse that busy with being fruitful. They're not the same thing. You can be busy as you want to be, but if it's not bringing forth fruit, then that's not what God wants out of your life. And that's not going to bring you abundant life. And what's interesting is that God gets glory out of our being fruitful. He's created us to be fruitful. In the 15th chapter of St. John, Jesus says there, I am the vine and you are the branches. And the Father is the husbandman. The Father is, He's the guy that goes and prunes. He's the guy that cuts stuff back and cuts stuff off. And He wants to prune our lives, it says. He wants to prune us and cut away so that we can produce fruit. And then Jesus said this in John 15 and 8 concerning being fruitful. He says, My true disciples produce bountiful harvest that brings great glory to my Father. You see, God gets glory not out of our being busy, but out of our being productive. Out of our being fruitful in what we were created to do. A crepe myrtle is beautiful when it's producing these beautiful blossoms. A fig tree is wonderful when it's producing fruit. A life is gorgeous when it's producing fruit, not just busy. And so what Jesus is saying to you and I today is, I don't want you just busy. I want you to be fruitful. And sometimes pruning is just not enough. Sometimes we can't just go in there and prune back some things and cut back on some things. Some things in our lives really need to be ripped out of the ground. Some things in our lives really need to be taken out. Habits, for example. But not necessarily bad things. Sometimes good things. Sometimes good things are taking our time, taking our energy. It's not a bad thing. It's just outlived its time. It's outlived its season. It's outlived its duration. When I was a young boy, my dad owned a farm. And on 20 acres of the farm, he planted peach trees. And my summer job every year was to take care of the peach orchard. I had to plow it. I had to spray the peach trees. I had to pick the peaches. We had a little stand out there in front of the house. I had to guard that stand, you know, and that was my summer job every year. Well, the first 3 to 5 years it took to get the peach trees producing, and they produced big, beautiful peaches. Oh, I mean, big, gorgeous things, and we were so proud of our peaches. And then about 12 years later, they stopped producing. And ones that did produced these little bitty peaches, you know, little bitty things. And we found out that a peach tree only lives to be like 15, 18 years old. And after that, you got to pull them up and you got to replant. See, our lives are like that. Sometimes what was productive then is not productive today. Sometimes what worked then and brought a great harvest then is not bringing a great harvest today. And it's time sometimes to pull things up and pluck them out of the ground and replant something that will bring forth fruit. Might take a few more years, but it'll produce fruit in abundance in our lives that we really need to enjoy in life, to have a full life, the bountiful life, the life that Jesus says He came to give to you and me. So sometimes pruning's not enough. And especially with habits that we know are killing us. Let's get rid of those things. Let's pull them out. Let's do what we got to do. Let's stop doing some things that we know are damaging us. Let's start. But it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. It doesn't have to be, you know, something that's a bad habit or something. It can be something good. In 1990, we began a school here and called it the Academy. And for many years, it was a good thing. I mean, it produced a lot of fruit. It blessed a lot of people. Some of you went to the Academy. Some of your children went to the Academy. It was a great academy. It did great things. It ministered to a lot of people. But then it began to drain life out of the church. It began to really drain us down. And the peaches that were once really big and beautiful became little bitty things. And it began to drain us. And if you were closely involved with it, you know what I'm talking about. We became a school with a church, and not a church with a school. And everything that we were able to get had to go to the school to maintain the school. And we weren't doing a good job with it. And we kept pruning and pruning and pruning, but it would never work. We would do this, we would try that, we would cut back here, we would add there, but nothing ever really seemed to work. And so one day, the leadership got together, and we decided, and we had talked about it many, many times, and one day we got together, and we decided that it was time to pull it out of the ground. It was time to do something different. It was time to focus on the main thing that God had called us to do, which was reach people and make them devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Our main thing was not to have a school. And because we were trying to have a school, it was draining the energy and the life from us. And like those crepe myrtles, you know, we had to blossom. We wanted to blossom. We wanted to be what we were created to be. We weren't created to be a school. We were created to be a church. And so what we had to do was pull that thing up. And since that time, we've been able to totally focus on what we were really created to do, which is reach people, preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, and reach people and make them devoted followers of Jesus Christ. It's been amazing. And see, sometimes in our lives we've got to do that. Sometimes in our lives we've got to come to a place where we really realize, listen, this is done. And we keep kicking a dead horse, you know? We keep, and it might have been a good dead horse, you know, but it's still a dead horse. You know, and we keep kicking it and we keep trying to ride that dead horse. But one day, you know, you got to realize you got to dismount and get on another horse. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes it's just time to make a change. Sometimes it's just time to go on. And it doesn't mean it was a bad horse. It's just dead. And you can kick it all you want to, but it's not going anywhere. We got to find something that can run the race. We got to get on a horse that'll run the race for us. And the book of Hebrews talks about that. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says this: therefore then, since — I like that it capitalized "therefore then." You know, get this part: therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us stir up and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance and steadfast and active persistence the appointed course. Would you say the appointed course? The appointed course for the race that is set before us. You see, there is an appointed course for you. There's an appointed course for me. God has set out for you and I to run an appointed race. There is something for you to do. And you won't get there on a dead horse. You won't get there on peach trees that's been non-productive. You won't get there on crepe myrtles that are too big. You won't get there on a fig tree that's only producing leaves. We've got to be able to prune back, hook up, do what God's got to do. Get all the entanglements that's so entangling us and holding our lives from doing what God's called us to do and living that abundant life. We've got to prune them back or pluck them up. But we've got to be able to not be hard-headed. You see, if we get hard-headed, we'll never do what God wants us to do. We've got to be able to be pliable. We've got to be able to let our minds actually work and hear God, and our consciences, as we've talked about, hear God, let common sense tell us and let common sense speak to us. And we've got to be able to prioritize our lives the way they should be, with being cutting them back, with cutting back or pucking up. Jesus one day was at the house of Martha and Mary. And they were going to cook this big meal for him and his disciples. And so he goes into Martha's house, and you know the story. But he goes in, and he sits, and he starts talking. He's teaching. Well, Mary comes and sits down right beside Jesus. And she's keyed on every word he says. She's listening intently. Well, Martha is distracted. You see, that's what we do. We allow, I love that song Lance chose, you know, so many distractions. Martha was distracted with the busyness. She was cumbered about, King James says, with all these things. She was distracted making sure that Jesus was comfortable and the apostles were comfortable and that everybody had a drink and that the house was clean and the food was getting cooked just right. You see, she was so distracted. Now, was there anything wrong with those distractions? I mean, I think it would be a pretty good thing to have Jesus Christ into your home and give him a good meal, don't you? I think it would be pretty good to feed the apostles of the Lamb. I think that's a good thing to do. So Martha got all... I would have done. That's what I would have done. Martha got all upset. She puts her hands on her hips, and she walks out there, and she says, Mary, what are you doing? Get up. Lord, make her get up and help me. I want to read a few verses from this passage that we have. And I want you to see. And key on the word distracted. In Luke 10:40, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And Jesus said to Martha, 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 now you put your name there. Delbert. Terry. Matt. You put your name there. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, Martha had the same opportunities to pick the same priority that did Mary. But she chose something different. Wasn't anything wrong with what she chose. Wasn't anything wrong with cooking and feeding the Lord and feeding those men. That was a good thing. But see, good things will keep you from the best thing. Good things will keep you from the abundant life. And what we've got to hear Jesus speaking to your heart and to my heart today is that we can be all worried about good things, but never get the best thing. Never have the abundant life that is laid out there for us. We can be good people, but never be abundant people. We can go through all the good things of life, and there are many good things, and there'll always be good things to do. There'll always be people to talk to on the telephone. There'll always be people that we've got to minister to. There'll always be things that want you to buy your time. There'll always be, you know, trees that need plucking up. There'll always be these kinds of things going on in our lives. But we've got to somehow come to the place to have the abundant life where we look at our lives and we prune back and pluck up those things that aren't producing fruit. And so what I want you to do today, what I want to encourage you to do today is prioritize, not just reprioritize, but pluck back and prune and do what needs to be done in your life. Make a list of your priorities. What is it that you dream about? What is it that your dream is in life? What is it that you want to accomplish? Where do you want to go? Are you too busy to fulfill that dream that God's given to you? What's going on in your life? What are your priorities? Maybe write them down. See which ones you can uproot. Get rid of so you won't even take your time, so you can spend more time on your dream. What is it that is taking time that's become a jungle that needs pruning back? See, sometimes we've got to walk through it with a machete and just start cutting a path through all those entanglements that are holding us back from running the race. We've got to stop kicking the dead horse. We've got to find a new horse to ride. If that was not taking me to the race, I've got to get another horse. You know, I gotta prune back my crepe myrtles. I want to blossom. I want a life that blooms and blossoms and brings forth the glory of God. I don't want to be stuck with peach trees that don't produce no peaches or little bitty peaches. I don't want to have leaves on my life. When Jesus comes to look at my life, I want fruit that brings glory to Jesus. How about you? Don't you want that? And I promise you this, if you will do that, if you will take your life today and you will sit down and begin to look at those things that you call priorities, prune them back or pluck those things up, then what God will do for your life is He will change it in such a dramatic way that you won't believe it. Because your eye has not seen and your heart has not heard either. It has not entered into your ears the things that God has planned for you. You see, they're all revealed by your Spirit. And if you'll listen to the Spirit of God, He's going to tell you what things you really need to focus on. And if you will do what He says to do, I promise you He'll make your crooked paths straight. He'll make your valleys level. Come on. He will turn your mourning into dancing. He will bring you into a new dimension and a new elevation, a new place in Him, that you will enjoy the abundant life that Jesus came to give you. And you will enjoy the abundant life that is rightfully yours. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Give the Lord a hand if you believe that. Amen. Amen.